Where America Comes to Talk, The Ed Schultz Show. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great one.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune you.
The record isn't very good, and I'm afraid that he will continue the trend, which is not a very good stewardship.
Gail Norton resigned as Interior Secretary last week. Kemp Thorne will have to be confirmed by the Senate. A lot of developments in Iraq today. A couple of U.S. military operations got underway with Iraqi forces involved. One northeast of Samarra to clear that area of insurgents.
They have already captured a number of enemy weapons caches containing explosives for IEDs, as well as weapons, ammunition, and military uniforms.
CBS News military analyst, retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland. Another operation in the capitals focused on increasing security there. The new Iraqi parliament convened today. Lawmakers took the oath and then adjourned after less than an hour. The president has reaffirmed his strike first policy against terrorists and enemy nations. The president also says that Iran may pose the biggest challenge for America. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has that.
The new national security report accuses Iran of supporting terrorists and stirring up trouble in Iraq. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley says the door is open to contacts, but
it is not just an issue between them and the great Satan, the United States. It is an issue between them and the international community.
Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Some of the intelligence gathered in Iraq is being posted on the internet, as correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Tens of thousands of documents, from routine government papers to recordings of former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, are going to be released as intelligence agents determine they have no secrets that still need to be kept. The two Republicans in Congress who pushed for this say when they're on the internet, historians, journalists, and average citizens can help translate them and get a fuller picture of pre-war Iraq, maybe even finding things the government missed about weapons of mass destruction.
Many of those documents are in Arabic. The Pentagon's looking into whether defense contractor Halliburton supplied troops in Iraq with unhealthy drinking water. A former Halliburton water treatment manager allegedly said in a report that troops were left vulnerable to mass sickness or death. Another former Halliburton water expert reportedly said he was told by his superiors not to advise the military when he found contamination at water supplies at a base in Ramadi. A couple of senators hope to create a sort of red light district on the internet, requiring pornographers to have an XXX domain instead of .com. The thinking being that would make it easier for parents to filter those sites. Texas Governor Rick Perry toured fire-ravaged areas of the Panhandle today. He called those fires devastating and asked for federal assistance. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 43 points at 11,253. The NASDAQ was down 12. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. Just stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
What are teenagers thinking and what are they worried about? Those aren't easy questions to answer, but a new study sought to find out, as Lou Miliano reports.
This was a huge survey. 46,000 teens across the country interviewed for the Boys and Girls Clubs, and parents will certainly get a lift from some of what the teens had to say.
They value the parents much more than they value the opinion of their peers or their friends. and feel that relationship, the parental one, is very important to them.
Harvard medical psychiatry professor Alvin Foussant's a consultant to the clubs and says nearly half the teens worry about war and the potential of their own participation. Lou Maligano, CBS News.
The Justice Department has given New Orleans approval to hold the first election since Hurricane Katrina. They'll vote for city council and mayor on April 22nd, and polling sites will be set up around the state for those residents of New Orleans who have temporarily relocated. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball, and now XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every Major League Baseball team all season long, plus the World Baseball Classic. And XM has America's largest playlist, including commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. Follow your favorite team with XM. Listen large. Price after mail-in rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for watching my kids.
Good timing. I'm making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ooh, my kids love chocolate milk.
So do mine, but I didn't make it for them. This Ovaltine's for us.
Really?
Hey, adults love the taste, too. Plus, I drink rich chocolate Ovaltine every day because it's high in calcium and antioxidants like vitamins A, C, and E. Ovaltine even has iron I need, which I can't get from Nesquik powder or milk alone.
Mmm, Ovaltine is good.
And it's loaded with vitamins and minerals. Nesquik powder doesn't come close.
More Ovaltine, please.
Yes, I'd like a few green onions with that, please. Good afternoon and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We've got a lot to talk about, and I'm looking forward to talking with you. As we observe in general, the third anniversary of the U.S. elective war on Iraq. Coming up in about a half hour, Mel Goodman, national security analyst, will join us on the program. We're going to talk about the proposal to censure the president made by Senator Russ Feingold and why the Democrats are afraid of that. Also going to talk about the expanded airstrikes over Iraq the last few months. Mainstream media has chosen not to inform you of that. And a big honking airstrike in the last 24 hours that took out more Iraqi civilians. Also, we're going to meet Iraq War veteran Bobby Yin. He is a member of the organization called Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. So we'll get a first-person account of his experiences. He spent some time in Mosul. And we've got lots of room for free speech today. Starting at 4:30, we're going to open up the phone lines. And courtesy of the media organization, the watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, we have some stupendous quotes from media pundits over the last 3 years, and most of them were dead wrong. My telephone numbers, you're invited to call anytime. On the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast or elsewhere, call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And if you prefer to email me and you got one of those fancy Blackberries, the service hasn't been interrupted, you can send me a note, peter@krxa540.com. That's peter@krxa540.com. Over at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., they publish a daily digest called the Progress Report. I get it in my email. You can do the same. Just log on to progressreport.org and give them your email address, and they'll take care of it. And it's a great digest of the day's news with interesting analysis. One of the co-editors who joins us every week is Faz Shakir. Hello, Faz. How are you doing today? I don't hear you yet, Faz. Yeah? Well, let's see. Okay. We don't have dial tone, James, so. Okay, Faz? Yeah? All right, why don't you dial him back, and let's see if we can get him on the line. One of the interesting things in today's progress report is that the Senate conservatives are once again trying to insert a backdoor provision into the budget bill that they think is a must-pass piece of legislation to open up the North Slope, yes, Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, for oil drilling. And this is, what, about the 18th time they've attempted it? And it's going to be interesting because each time they get a little bit closer. And there are, what, let's see, a letter was signed by 19 Democrats and 5 Republicans opposing this insertion. But, you know, Ted Stevens and some of these other Republicans are just determined, and it does seem to be an important element of the Bush strategy to try to beat back the Democrats and conservationists, Greens, those environmental wackos that Rush always talks about, and prove that resource extraction trumps anybody who has other ideas. So that one is one that is disappointing, but we'll watch it carefully and see where it goes in the next few days and weeks. Next week is a holiday week for the Senate and House in Washington. So they'll be back in their districts gearing up for the midterm elections this fall and the primaries that precede them. So there's a rush to complete some business in Washington this week, but not a whole lot is getting done. The ethics reform bills seem to be stalled, and people are yawning. There seems to be a real lack of interest in cleaning up those messes. And likewise, the legislation that is meandering through the Judiciary Committee related to immigration law reform is stumbling through. And Bill Frist is promising to kind of jumpstart the process with a direct-to-the-floor move in the coming weeks. So that's going to be an interesting issue to watch. And where is Faz?
I got him over here, but
we've got him. Okay, then James, on the input of the telephone, make sure that the button for program and audition, each one of those has to be selected.
Gotcha.
And then if you bring that fader up, do we have Faz?
Hey, Peter?
Hey, Faz, you're there.
I was talking to myself there for a while.
How was it? Was it better than talking to me?
No, I you were certainly more educated than I was on some of the issues.
Well, Faz, first up, I have to tell you that yesterday I interviewed Faiza Al-Araji, a woman whose name is very similar to yours. It just has an A on the end of it.
I'll have to look her up and find out. Who is she, Peter?
She is an Iraqi exile. She and her family left just a couple of months ago, and she's a fascinating woman. She is a Shiite, and she's married to a Sunni. And so as the sectarian violence that some people claim is not a civil war has developed there, one of her sons was nabbed by the Interior Ministry, and they were only able to get him released after paying a massive bribe.
Wow. And where is she living now?
I don't know. She is in the United States and touring around. She was in Los Angeles yesterday when we spoke to her.
Okay.
But very interesting. And just when I saw her name, I said, wow. Do you know what, you know, Faz or Faiza would transliterate to in English?
I think it's honor or glory, depending on which language you're talking about. My name derives from Urdu. Hers might be Arabic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, just had to make that connection. Now, I did, while I was filling and waiting for you to join us, I talked about the insertion of ANWR into the budget bill. But let's talk about the overall budget bill itself, because as you point out in the progress report, yesterday the conservatives, and we have to put that term in quotes because it doesn't mean anything, the conservatives whiffed on an effort to put conservatism into budget planning going forward.
Yeah, I think one of the best opportunities they had to show their true conservatism, and when I say true conservatism, we generally mean small government and fiscal responsibility, although that seems to be more of a liberal quality these days than a conservative one. But the conservatives were given an opportunity to show their small government and their fiscal responsibility in a vote to make sure that when they spend money this time around, they also find a way to pay for it. And so one of the ways they wanted to go about this was through enactment of the so-called PAYGO rules, which would require that if you're going to pay for something, you got to find a way to earn that money and take it out of somewhere else. And the conservatives shot that rule down, and it really showed that they weren't going to live up to their rhetoric.
And it was a 50-50 vote, and unusually the vice president didn't come over to tie to do the tiebreaker.
You're right. They needed 60 in this case.
Oh, it's a cloture.
Right.
Okay. And so this is always very interesting, Faz, because I like to remind people that it was only 12 years ago that in the so-called contract with America, Republicans raised their right hands and pledged sanctimoniously not only to always balance the budget, but to pass a constitutional amendment, which is harebrained in my view, to require a balanced budget every year. And how far they have declined in 12 short years.
That's right. I mean, I think a lot of true conservatives, and again, put that in quotation marks, feel that this administration is not conservative at all. And I'm, again, referring to the Bartlett book that is now out, referring to George W. Bush as imposter, how he hijacked the conservative agenda. And I think that that is a very accurate description of what George Bush has done, because you think about Dick Cheney, him saying deficits don't matter. And you can tell that that's what they think as they go about their budgetary process. They think that they can spend up as much as they'd like while also cutting taxes and just leave these problems for future generations.
Guns, butter, and tax cuts all at the same time.
That's the new conservatism, Peter.
All right, Faz, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about the elements of this budget bill. What's right with it? Well, we'll focus on what's wrong with it. If you have a question or comment for Faz, he's with us till the bottom of the hour. My lines are open at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
We all have dreams. And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Finding answers to questions about a woman's health can be difficult, but the women of Monterey County will soon have an opportunity to get the information they need. I'm Assemblymember Simon Salinas, and I'm sponsoring a Women's Health Summit along with several organizations. This free event will take place from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Saturday, March 25th at Hartnell College in Salinas. For more details, call my office at 831-759-8676.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and on a good day, King City. We're live on KGOE, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, and on a good day there, Crescent City's tuned in. We continue our weekly update with Faz Shakir, co-editor of the Progress Report from the Center for American Progress. Again, to get your very own copy in your email box, just log on to progressreport.org. And Faz, we're talking about this proposed budget bill. And where is it in the process? And in your view, how much more change is going to be applied to this package before it's presented for a final vote?
Well, they're debating it in the Senate Budget Committee, where ultimately it has to pass. And what they're doing right now is they're voting on amendments. And this is the so-called budget resolution, which lays out a blueprint for how Congress is going to spend the $2.8 trillion that it has under its authority. So they have to eventually pass, Senate Budget Committee has to eventually pass this blueprint. And then that will go out to the respective other committees within Congress, who will then have to find ways to allocate those amounts of money that they are required to do under the budget resolution. Mm-hmm. And so your question about whether it's going to change or not, that's a really good one, because there are some important issues, I think port security being one of them. In the wake of the Dubai ports deal, that's gaining a lot of attention, and it seems like that might be a place where we might see some movement and Democrats might be able to add some money there. And also, I think veterans is another important area where we might be able to win and ensure that veterans' health care is getting the funding that it needs. But there are going to be a lot of losses, let me tell you that.
And are Democrats united in opposition to the extension of the tax cuts, particularly the estate tax and the capital gains dividends tax?
So far, from what we can tell, yes. And we here at the Center for American Progress learned of a poll done recently that showed that the American public is overwhelmingly opposed to the estate tax repeal as well. So that's good news, and hopefully that'll keep the base united on that issue. We did a little analysis yesterday in the Progress Report where we found that the estate tax repeal would cost nearly $1 trillion over the first 10 years of its enactment. So we're talking about a lot of money, and especially when you consider that the budget deficit right now is about $320 billion. $1 trillion is a huge chunk that we just can't afford right now.
Mm-hmm. And what about the alternative minimum tax? That was getting a lot of chatter earlier this year, and I haven't heard anything recently. That's kind of a train wreck that is aimed at upper middle income families in America.
That's right. It pushes a lot of upper middle income families into the into very tough tax brackets, including those of the very rich. And so every year Congress decides to punt on this issue because it's very difficult to reform this whole thing together, because of course if you reform it, then it costs a lot of money and you got to take that money out of somewhere else, and of course this Congress doesn't want to do that. So what they end up doing is kicking it each and every year to the next year, and they just extend it for one more year, and that's probably what they're going to do again until a responsible Congress and a responsible administration can sit down and work out a long-term reform, which has to be done.
But the Republicans, as we pointed out in the first segment, have avoided for the moment a pay-as-you-go approach. So it appears that they want it all, that they're going to jam through the extension of the estate tax, or I guess it is a permanent repeal is what's on the table now. There's this scaled-back package that's in effect now, but it expires in 2011, I think.
That's right.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if they can pull all this off, because it did seem at the Republican confab in Memphis last weekend that they were looking around and scratching their heads, saying, well, with the Dubai port deal, we kind of lost the advantage we had on the fear factor on national security as the calling card of Republicans. Fiscal conservatism, oh, yeah, maybe we can recapture the bloom of that rose. And so it appeared that some of them were angling for, you know, a little bit more restraint and at least trying to create a public relations perception that Republicans have more restraint.
It was really interesting as I heard the speeches, Senator George Allen of Virginia, conservative Republican, Senator McCain was also out there in Memphis speaking, and as I heard them talk, it sounded like they were campaigning against themselves, talking about how the budget was out of control, we were spending too much money, we weren't fiscally responsible, creating new entitlements, and I just wondered, you know, who was in charge when all this happened? Of course, it was the Republicans, and it seems to be that they're campaigning against themselves, and hopefully the American people realize it. Unfortunately, it seems that the problem with talking about the deficit and the debt is that it doesn't have a direct impact on American lives right now. So, in essence, what we're trying to talk about is how their standard of living will be impacted in the future by the decisions that we make today, and to make Americans start to realize that we need to be more responsible now so that the next generation will have the opportunity to live better lives than their parents are living right now. And that, I think that question is severely in doubt because of the policies that the administration has pursued.
And to put a number on it, every man, woman, and child in the United States is on the hook for $28,000. That's my personal share of the national debt as of today. And, Faz, as I look at that, it makes me slightly nostalgic for Ross Perot and his flip charts. Come on back, Ross. Show us what's wrong with this picture.
That's right. I mean, in many ways, you do feel like you need an outside voice, like a third-party candidate, once again, to start talking about the issues that both parties kind of want to run away from because it reflects poorly on their own records. But hopefully this is something that Democrats can take up. They shouldn't be running from their own record. Remember that the Clinton administration left in place a debt reduction package that would have reduced our debt almost entirely over, 5 to 10 years is what he had planned, President Clinton, when he left office, and he had instructed Congress as to how the surplus should have been used. And, of course, that plan was totally scrapped in favor of the $1.3 trillion tax cuts that went through in 2001. Mm-hmm. So I think Democrats should make sure that they inform the American public about the record of the Clinton years and remind them that we're the fiscally responsible party.
And, Faz, let me take you back ancient history. All of 6 weeks ago, in the State of the Union message, the president articulated that health care is a serious problem, and he made a series of proposals that wouldn't solve the issues, in my view. But has health care fallen off the radar in Washington?
I don't think it has as a political issue. I think as a policy issue, it may have. I think that the health savings accounts,
right,
that the president introduced in his State of the Union has completely dropped off the table, and none of the Republicans even want to talk about it as an agenda issue. Instead, what they seem to be focused on is this prescription drug problem and the problems with the program, and the president is now campaigning around the country to try to convince the American public this is a really great benefit and that they should sign up and that everything's going well. You know,
he refuses to extend the enrollment deadline.
That's right. That's right. And so a lot of seniors, of course, know the reality of the program. It's very difficult for them to enroll. And, of course, a lot of low-income seniors, those who are receiving Medicaid and in essence free prescription drugs before, are experiencing the pain of the program. So that's where I think the Republicans are focused right now, and trying to rectify that. Meanwhile, the issue of health care reform in general is dropping off the table.
Well, and I think Democrats should champion it, even if they don't have a series of proposals. Just talk about the problem, because it's the hidden tax that has hit every American since Bush took office. Faz Shakir, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This week on Rock Roll and Real Estate, meet Louis Basil. Louis is the president of Jamestown Real Estate, where he'll share his knowledge on investing in Florida and North Carolina. His properties are easily rented with high rents and as low as 5% down. For more information on this show, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock Roll and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, heard all over Northern California. Your number one source for all your real estate needs.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. And we continue. Returning to our program today is Melvin A. Goodman, Senior Fellow at the Center for International Policy. He is also an adjunct professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. Spent 26 years as an analyst at the CIA and representing our nation in the SALT talks, Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty. Ah, boy, that's a warm, nostalgic memory. He's also co-author of books like Bush League Diplomacy, How the Neoconservatives Are Putting the World at Risk. Mel Goodman, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, the good old days of the Cold War. I never thought they would be so warm and soothing. We could talk about arms talks and negotiations and summitry and diplomacy.
And anyone who proposed, anybody who proposed preemptive war would be called a nutcase.
That would be considered madness. And now after Iraq, and here we are talking about it again in the case of Iran, Iraq shows you the complete failure of preemptive war. Preemptive war must be based on good intelligence. We not only had bad intelligence, well, we had no intelligence, and we went to war anyway. And, of course, there were no weapons of destruction, and there were no links between Iraq and al-Qaeda. But yet we have a document that came out today, the National Security Strategy of the United States, and we're talking about preemptive war being a good thing, whether we have sufficient intelligence or not. And we've identified Iran as the number one threat to the United States and the number one challenge. So are we going down that road again?
And it is curious, but, you know, irony is dead, so we'll just put that aside, that here, as we are kind of recoiling at the grisly specter here of the third anniversary of our elective war on Iraq, the president is hardening his position and trying to defend this preemptive strategy when it's obvious that it's bankrupt.
Well, I think this is a president who can't back away from any of his positions. I've never seen a president as tenacious and stubborn as this one. And I think the problem is if he backs away from any position, the entire facade, which I think is a house of cards to begin with, will come tumbling down like a house of cards. So that's why he stubbornly remains tied to all of his positions, and all of these positions have essentially failed. You know, non-negotiations with North Korea that actually has nuclear weapons, going to war with Iraq that doesn't have nuclear weapons. And now today we have a very important announcement from Iran, from the Iranian foreign minister, that they want to open talks with the United States on Iraq. They're willing to talk about Iraq. Now, Iraq, I think, is important to both Iran and the United States for the very same reason, just as Afghanistan was important to Iran and the United States. So there is a real opportunity for negotiations here, for diplomacy. And if they can talk about Iraq and be successful, it's very possible to me that we can be talking about Iran's nuclear program and also be successful. So I think the American reaction, the reaction of the Bush administration, will be very important here. I thought the initial reaction of Stephen Hadley, the National Security Advisor, was kind of timid and kind of tepid, but I'm hoping that cooler heads will prevail and that Condi Rice can maybe prevail over Donald Rumsfeld, and we can sit down with Iran and hold face-to-face talks.
Do you think the U.S. under the Bush administration is willing to engage in bilateral talks with Iran?
I think they are, because there's been so much failure in Iraq, and just as Iran is in a desperate situation economically, we're in a desperate situation militarily. Let's face it, the administration won't use the word civil war, but I'm going to use them. Iraq is in a civil war.
Yes.
It's not enough to talk about sectarian violence. I was in the United States Army in the 1950s after the Greek Civil War had just ended, and I remember descriptions of some of my Greek allies and friends about the civil war and the kind of violence that took place. They were describing what exactly is happening in Iraq now. When you're finding 80 to 100 people dead on almost a daily basis, that's a lot more than just sectarian violence. That sounds like a civil war to me if you're talking about Sunni deaths one day and then Shia deaths the other day. Mm-hmm. It's obvious you're talking about a civil war. So how much worse does it have to get before this administration realizes that we're in a very difficult situation?
And the killings you talk about have been committed in execution style. People were handcuffed or hands were bound. So
exactly. These are militias. These aren't trained who went to war without an adequate number of forces and had no post-war strategy. You still have to be worried about what's going to ensue from these talks. But I think there's an opening there, and I hope we're wise enough and sagacious enough to take advantage of this opportunity.
I hope you're right, and I'm skeptical, or at least a little pessimistic about it. Mel Goodman, let me ask you, putting aside this initiative from the Iranians that occurred today, there was a powerful report on the NewsHour on PBS last night about the heated rhetoric, the war of words that has been ping-ponging back between Washington and Tehran. And it really was unnerving to me, and I wonder if you can help me out here, because on the one hand, It just seems unthinkable and preposterous that the U.S. in its current military position would attempt any kind of an invasion of Iraq. While I wouldn't support it, I could understand the use of airstrikes to try to take out these facilities that we think or that Bush thinks might be used for nuclear weapons production. But to try to launch a full-scale military assault on Iran seems unthinkable, and that you would have to be completely out of your mind to even contemplate it. Yet we hear the rhetoric, we see some of the preparations, or at least the ideology, but to try to launch a full-scale military assault on Iran seems unthinkable, and that you would have to be completely out of your mind to even contemplate it. Yet we hear the rhetoric, we see some of the preparations, or at least the ideological markers that have been laid out, and it does appear that this president would be willing to launch the unthinkable.
Well, I guess I agree with you in terms of your hesitancy about where we're going in all of this. The fact of the matter is, if we had been successful in Iraq, I would have expected further military adventures. Syria would have been a likely candidate because it would have been a lot easier. Iran is also on the charts because of the nuclear dimension. But the fact of the matter is, we haven't succeeded in Iraq. We've failed in Iraq. We don't have enough troops in Iraq. I don't know where in the world we would get troops to go into Iran. Airstrikes would not be successful in the proliferation treaty. And it could be the reason why Iran wants to get into talks about Iraq. Maybe they are believing some of this rhetoric. My concern about the rhetoric is that at some point it develops a momentum of its own. There could be a point for domestic political reasons or international political reasons that Bush sees some need to take military.
Any need to share with the American people. And that's why sometimes I try to scratch my head and think beyond the surface, because this is an administration of great secrecy and duplicity.
Well, it's not only secrecy and duplicity, which are worrisome, but this is an administration that really has no strategy. If you look at what this administration has done domestically and internationally, it works by the seat of its pants. And the people who have left the administration, when they go back to their academic positions or think tank positions, the honest ones will say, you know, I've never been involved in a political situation where no one sits around and talks strategy. There are no strategic plans. If you talk to members of the National Security Council who used to come over to the National War College where I taught for 16 years after I left CIA, they tell you, we really like working for this president because we don't have these discussions. We don't talk about strategy. We don't talk about concepts. He tells us what to do, and we just go out and do it. And there's nothing more dangerous than doing something just because you can get it done. You know, we've deployed a national missile defense in California and Alaska that doesn't work because we were just technically capable of putting it in the ground. It's not a workable system, but we've spent tens of billions of dollars on the system. We could put 150,000 military troops into Iraq, so we did. 2,300 of those forces are now dead, and they're with terrible injuries. Now you're starting to see on the streets of Washington people with some of the most incredible otherworldly devices that I've ever seen before. People who've lost limbs in Iraq. All of these sad stories, the neurological damage that people are suffering in Iraq, and the fact that we're going to have to be living with this loss of blood and treasure for such a long time, and now it's weakening us to the point where look at the Dubai ports deal, which I think this country was hysterical in reaction to it. But the fact of the matter is, we need foreign capital. We need foreign investment. We have such a problem of foreign indebtedness, in part due to a war in Iraq that has now cost more than World War I, costs more than Korea, and if we're there two more years, this war will have cost more than Vietnam for no strategic advantage whatsoever.
Yeah, we're up to $6 billion a month, and the president is busy reaffirming his commitment to the failed policy of preemption.
Well, as only this president can do.
We'll continue with Mel Goodman in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, get on the phone right now on the Central Coast. Call us at 831-899-5792 or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear, and I am pleased. Thanks for listening today. We continue our conversation with Mel Goodman, 26 years at the CIA, now a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy, adjunct professor of government, Johns Hopkins University. And Mel, just before the break, you had something to say, but it got drowned out by David Bowie singing, Putting Out Fire with Gasoline.
I guess that's appropriate, too. But all I wanted to say is the best description I've heard about the war in Iraq came from President Bush 2 weeks ago when in a press conference he responded to one of the questions and called Iraq a catastrophic success. And I can't think of a better oxymoron that describes what we've done in Iraq as this catastrophic success, because we've certainly got a catastrophe on our hands, not only in Iraq but the entire Middle East. And it's made us so vulnerable internationally and domestically. If you look at the inept response to Hurricane Katrina and the inability to follow up on, again, on any strategic planning. Again, look at the hurricane relief. No strategic planning. Look at post-Iraq development assistance, rehabilitation. No strategic planning. This is totally a seat-of-the-pants administration, and you raised something earlier about the acting in secrecy. What frightens me is, here is a government that is now conducting eavesdropping and surveillance without warrants, a violation of law, the 1978 FISA law. And when this happened the last time in this country, there was an uproar during Vietnam when we found out about warrantless eavesdropping and spying by the CIA, the FBI, the National Security Agency. Now I don't get any sense of any alarm, and even Jane Harman from California, a Democrat who's on the House Intelligence Committee, has been defending the government in terms of warrantless wiretapping and eavesdropping, and is looking for ways of changing the law ex post facto to make the illegal legal. This is terrifying. You know, what has this country become?
Unfortunately, Jane Harman, like Dianne Feinstein, is only a Democrat a couple of days a week, Mel. And she puzzles me on a regular basis. I also note that while the president is verbally challenged, rhetorically, his speechwriters and issue framers are quite facile. Because just 90 days ago, the pushback on the declining poll numbers and the eroding support for the war in Iraq was the product of Dr. Peter Fever's research at Duke, which is the victory strategy. And think of those speeches in December. How many times Bush used the word victory? And that has been virtually excised from his public statements this week as he once again tries to restore support for his misguided war.
Well, today, you know, the good news was that Iran wants to open up a dialogue. The bad news is we're conducting an air assault with Iraqi troops somewhere in the western regions of Iraq.
This is Operation Swarmer. I was just about to
mention it, Mel.
Operation
Swarmer.
You read my mind. More than 50 aircraft. This is the largest air assault since the original invasion 3 years ago.
Now, I assume this is just a training tactic for the Iraqi forces and something to rev up the morale of the Iraqi forces. I hope it doesn't give any encouragement to an American audience who must be very skeptical about this kind of procedure, this kind of tactic in an insurgency. We're not going against dug-in forces. We're not going up against battalions or regiments or even platoons. The air assault will be known to the people it's targeting long before it ever gets near the so-called target area. They're not going to hop in armored personnel carriers. They're going to hop in their cars. They're going to hop in SUVs, their Toyotas. And they'll be out of there. And this is what we did in Fallujah. In fact, we've done it twice. We did it once, and we had to go back in a second time after we left. And what are we going to do, hopscotch around to these 12, 13 Sunni areas
now Professor,
important settlements?
If I may take you back to your war college days, give me a 30-second spiel on the use of massive military force against guerrillas, the so-called asymmetrical warfare model.
Well, the asymmetrical warfare model was basically given to us by President Kennedy, and when he was looking for an area to try it out, he sent General Maxwell Taylor, one of his nephews was named after General Maxwell Taylor, to find an area where the communists might put this kind of strategy to a test, and they came back, General Taylor came back and said it's in Vietnam, and of course we responded, and we ended up with 500,000 troops in Vietnam before we admitted failure and got out of there in 1975, and that was after 12, 13 years and 58,000 dead and countless injuries and fatalities up and down the line.
Pursuing a goal of domination and, you know, their agenda is something that I don't think most of the American people have. It reflects more of a corporate understanding of what the world is about. But that's not why I called.
Even if you apply more troops to Iraq, the one person who spoke out was General Eric Shinseki, who was chief of staff of the Army, and of course he was pushed into retirement by Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, who has a stranglehold on the Pentagon. But he has a real yes man now in the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You know, a lot of people were pleased because for the first time in our history, we got a tough Marine. A tough Marine was going to be chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Well, we have this tough Marine, Peter Pace, and he's a yes man. He's signed off just as Tommy Franks did when he was the commander of forces in Iraq, signed off on everything that Rumsfeld wanted. And when you look at what happened in Iraq in terms of the breakdown in discipline and order, in terms of the tortures in Abu Ghraib and the deaths that we've seen in military facilities and CIA secret prisons in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere for that matter, you realize there's a complete breakdown of the military chain of command. They no longer recognize their obligations in a professional military to go directly, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs can, go directly to the president. He doesn't have to go through the Secretary of Defense if you look at the Goldwater-Nichols Bill of 1986. But we don't have any accountability in our society anymore. We have a complete breakdown of governmental and civil governance in our society. That's how we can have warrantless eavesdropping. Mm-hmm. That's how we can have secret prisons, torture and abuse, FBI national security letters. Military is spying on anti-war and peace demonstrations, attending Quaker meetings, putting names in databases. This is the 1950s all over again. I hope everyone sees good night and good luck, because I think this was what George Clooney had in mind. This is a lesson. You better look at your history. This happened 50 years ago, and it's happening again in this country.
Do you see any possibility that the supposed 70% of troops who would like to get out of Vietnam, I mean, oh, look what I just said, who'd like to get out, you know, the latest poll saying that there was, you know, at least three-quarters think it's that we shouldn't be there.
And Kate, I'll just add that in that same survey, more than 80% of them said they still believe there's a connection between Saddam and 9/11.
Oh, that's right. So I
that's
was just going to ask if there was any possibility they might do any kind of rebellion, mutiny, revolt, or anything like that is possible in the
future. I don't
expect
anything from these polls. The only poll I take seriously in this country is the election. And this country, in times of war, tends to support its leaders. We reelected Nixon during Vietnam when I think 80% of the country had turned against Vietnam, and no matter how many people in these polls, which are just a snapshot in time, turn against the Iraq War, that doesn't mean they wouldn't vote for George Bush once again. Now, we'll know something in November of this year when we have legislative elections, but if you look at their tepid reaction to Senator Feingold from Wisconsin, who appropriately is bringing wants to bring a censure message to the floor of the Senate. Now he has support from Senator Tom Harkins. He has no support from Republicans, and Democrats are running to the door as fast as they can.
Isn't that
to get
shameful?
Away from the line of fire. And this is unconscionable.
It really is.
Is this still a democracy in this country? Do
Kate,
we have two political parties?
Kate, thanks for the call.
Much.
And
thank
Mel
you.
Goodman, I'll let your question dangle there. Thank you for joining us today. I always appreciate your comments.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be with you.
My pleasure. Mel Goodman, former CIA analyst here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Iraqi War veteran Bobby Yen joins us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman,
chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill. He says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A military offensive launched in Iraq.
A bold ground and air assault involving more than 1,500 troops.
The Bush administration reaffirms its strike first policy.
The administration says the U.S. won't rule out the use of force before attacks occur.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Helicopters ferried U.S. and Iraqi troops to raids on suspected insurgent strongholds north of Baghdad. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan reports it's called Operation Swarmer.
It was launched only hours before Iraq's new parliament was sworn in and involved the largest number of aircraft used to insert troops in nearly 3 years. Some 50 attack and assault helicopters were used, including heavily armed Apaches, Black Hawk troop carriers, and Chinooks, heavy lift helicopters designed to move large numbers of troops. The army says it's the fastest way to get a sizable force as close to the target as possible and allows for the element of surprise. The raid wasn't aimed at any big-name terrorists, but some 40 suspects believed to be part of Al-Qaeda or their allies had been detained for questioning by the evening of the first day.
At the same time, CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says Operation Scales of Justice is getting underway in the Iraqi capital.
8 battalions, 2 Iraqi, 3 national police, as well as 3 coalition battalions, have been moved to Baghdad to increase overall presence and to increase the number of patrols.
One officer says they're focusing on Baghdad like a laser beam to discourage insurgent attacks and sectarian violence. Now this.
Every
every day, people save more and more money on Priceline. Save when you find your own hotel. Save even more when we find it for you. Save packaging your hotel with airfare, booking early, or even on last-minute deals. Priceline now has more ways to save on hotels than any leading travel site. Priceline, more ways to save.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. People always ask me, what keeps me going? You know what I say? I have Purple Power. Yeah, I try to drink a glass of Welch's Purple 100% grape juice every day because Welch's is packed with deep purple, antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. So it doesn't just taste good, it's actually good for your heart. In fact, Welch's has twice the natural antioxidant power of orange juice. So grab a glass of Welch's and add a little Purple Power to your life. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you could do for your heart.
In a national security report today, the Bush administration served notice that if it perceives a threat, it will not sit idle.
The report restates and reinforces the so-called first strike option, the use of preemptive power to go after terrorists or rogue countries. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley calls it a lesson of 9/11.
We can't stand by while threats accumulate and grow. We're dealing with threats that involve, for example, weapons of mass destruction.
Critics say the failure to find WMD in Iraq undermines the idea that intelligence on an enemy threat is enough to justify war. But the administration says the first strike policy remains sound. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
The FBI says there will be no federal charges in the case of Emmett Till, the black teenager who was murdered in Jackson, Mississippi in 1955, supposedly because he'd whistled at a white woman. An all-white jury acquitted two white men who later confessed in a magazine interview. The Justice Department reopened the investigation last year, but officials now say the five-year statute of limitations on civil rights violations has expired. The FBI's report will be turned over to the local district attorney who might file state charges. Less than a week after Interior Secretary Gail Norton stepped down, President Bush has tapped a replacement.
I'm pleased to announce my nomination of Governor Dirk Kempthorne to be the Secretary of the Interior.
Kempthorne is governor of Idaho and a former U.S. senator. He's worked to create more parks in his home state. 6 years ago, he sued the Bush administration to block the reintroduction of grizzly bears in the Bitterroot Range. The plan was scrapped.
And we are underway.
March Madness arrived this afternoon with the start of the NCAA basketball tournament. This year, with CBS Sports streaming video online, our technology consultant Larry Maggot says things could really slow down at the office.
Aside from the productivity issue of lots of employees spending their time watching games rather than working, lots of people watching video on a company network can actually clog the network, making it harder for email and actual work-related data to get where it needs to go.
When the game started, the system was at maximum capacity. 200,000 viewers and nearly 150,000 were waiting their turn. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as...
A generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477.
Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
Ready, everybody? Sammy, put down the rich chocolate Ovaltine hot. Okay, here comes the beep. Hi, you've reached the Connors. Beth.
Jerry.
And Samantha.
We can't get to the phone right now because...
I want to finish my Ovaltine hot. It's the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world.
Sammy.
It has vitamins and stuff, but I just like the taste. Yummy, creamy, chocolatey, and...
Sammy.
Ovaltine hot makes my belly feel all warm inside and...
Sammy.
Oh, leave a message.
That went well.
It's 6 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your humble host, Peter B. Coming up in about a half hour, an expanded version of the Free Speech Zone today. We've got 90 minutes to take your calls, any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. But first up, we're going to get a first-person account of what it's like to be a soldier in Iraq. In the service of the United States of America. Joining me this half hour is Sergeant Baldwin Yen. They call him Bobby.
He grew up in Atherton, California, in the north zone of Silicon Valley, joined the Army Reserves at the age of 19, and he went to UCLA, got a degree in computer science and engineering, and he went to Iraq in November of 2003 as a broadcast NCO with the 222nd Broadcast Operations Detachment. So you're a broadcaster, is that right, Bobby?
That's correct. A broadcast journalist, so I did radio and television while I was over in Iraq.
So were you embedded?
I mean, that's sort of more for the civilian reporters, but yeah.
I understand.
I mean, I took my turn out with the soldiers, went on a couple of raids, stayed at the forward operating bases, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And did you write any stories that the Lincoln Group inserted into Iraqi newspapers without attribution?
Not at all. Writing is yet another MOS, or military occupational specialty within the Army. So we just had videos, and we operated AFN Iraq.
And how would the material that you produced differ from what Americans see on television in terms of coverage of Iraq?
Well, to be honest, we would sort of have to edit our own material because obviously we're more of a private Army side type news reporting agency. So we would always have a positive spin on our things, at least. And we would also escort the media occasionally. And the soldiers are generally a little more shy, and they might be a little more hesitant to say things with the other media. So we'd get a little bit more honest, but then we'd kind of twist it ourselves anyways.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm curious about the phrase you used there about putting a positive spin on it. Is that possible? I mean, many stories in Iraq, it's hard to figure out what the positive aspect is.
Well, from the Defense Information School, their classic example is if there's a helicopter crash. You admit there was a helicopter crash, but you go into what we're doing to investigate the causes and what we're doing to prevent that thing from happening again. So that would be the positive spin on something as negative as a helicopter crash.
I see.
So in Iraq, a lot of our stories would be how the soldiers are helping the Iraqis, Iraqi appreciation of the soldiers, how secure the soldiers are making the bases, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And is this the kind of coverage that Bush complains that American citizens don't see enough of?
Pretty much. One of the hooks we used to put the soldiers at ease was that we were sort of the opposite of the civilian media, that we would just make everyone look good, and that it was our goal to make the Army look good and tell the Army story.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem like journalism, though, Bobby. That seems more like manufactured news or, in a worst case, propaganda.
You could call it propaganda, but I mean, it's all still factual. We never made up any kind of fact. Like I said, it's more a spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
We would emphasize the good parts because really, although they said like, oh, everyone gets tired of seeing, you know, soldiers giving school supplies to children or soldiers creating, like an orphanage for children, you really don't see those kind of stories on TV. And I mean, it is what goes on day to day, but like the footage just really isn't that exciting and people really wouldn't watch it.
Well, and part of the reason is that most reporters are hunkered down in their hotels or inside the green zone, and they're scared witless, or one of those less, to actually go out of the protective corridors.
I mean, it's that, and combined with the fact that sometimes the military simply won't let the civilian reporters go some places. I mean, certainly there was one raid up near Mosul that we were on, and the civilian reporters were flat out just not allowed to go, although we were. So.
Mm-hmm.
There's a variety of reasons that the civilian reporters, I mean, some also to some extent edit themselves because they know that their access may be restricted if they're known as a negative reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely I would say that the people back home really don't get much of a realistic image of what's out there. And maybe now it's starting to filter through because you hear so many, there are blogs, there's so many ways that ex-soldiers or soldiers even out there can get the real story through. But the civilian media is really limited out there by a number of factors.
Sergeant Bobby Yen with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Bobby, what do you think about the reports today of Operation Swarmer, which is described as the largest air assault operation since the invasion 3 years ago? And this is centered near Samarra, which is, of course, where the Golden Mosque was blown up about 2-3 weeks ago.
I mean, they're doing a lot, but I'm not quite sure what they're doing. I mean, it's a great display of force. I'm sure it may increase the self-confidence of the Iraqi self-defense forces, but, I mean, the insurgency is not a standard war, and you really can't just destroy them by striking someplace hard. I mean, it's a lot of show. I'm sure someone's getting something out of it, but I'm not sure of its real tactical or strategic value.
And in your experience in Iraq, with the different factions, the Sunnis and Shiites in particular, who appear to be settling a lot of scores these days, 85 dead bodies found execution style around Baghdad yesterday alone, and that carnage continues. What was it like for you to be in the thick of that and recognize that you really couldn't tell the difference between a Sunni and Shia and try to determine whether they're friend or foe or what their intentions are at any given moment?
That brings up a story I have, actually. And, I mean, there is a third party in the mix, the Kurds in general.
Right.
And we were up in the Kurdish zone up in northern part of Iraq, and we went to this police station where they were training new police officers. And my team consisted of myself, a Caucasian male, and a Hispanic female. And we were having, like, a lunch with the police officers. And the captain of the police was just so amazed that we could work together, like we were so different, and yet we worked together without like complaining or harassing each other. And the fact that the Arabs, the Sunni and the Shiites and the Kurds, like they pretty much look the same already. I mean, the idea of diversity to them is just incredible, considering that they are willing to discriminate against each other, not just on something as obvious as skin, but something as subtle as beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And so how do we unravel this? And do you agree with Congressman Murtha's assessment that the U.S. occupiers are now seen as the irritant there?
We definitely add to the problems in one way. I mean, I couldn't say that if we withdrew, they wouldn't be fighting at all. But I know that even in a peaceful situation such as Korea, like, they dislike us because they think we're sort of maintaining a separation between them. I think it may be more propaganda on the insurgency side to try to blame the American troops, but regardless of the reason, certainly I think public opinion over there is turning against U.S. forces.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any problem calling what's going on there right now a civil war?
Not at all. I mean, there are two sides, and they're from the same country, and they're battling it out. I mean, only the degree of violence is what I would sort of hesitate on calling it a civil war. I mean, there aren't active brigades or flat-out battle lines, but besides that, it's pretty much a civil war.
Mm-hmm. And, Bobby, if you were Secretary Rumsfeld or President Bush for a day or a week or even longer, how would you deal with this situation? Would you be looking to withdraw American forces on an announced timetable?
To me, it would depend on what the American public is willing to stomach. The way to a real victory, the moral victory, and to a safer and better Iraq for the future and democracy in the Middle East would be to put down like 500,000 troops, which is what a lot of the independent think tanks and General Shinseki himself recommended at the beginning of this entire endeavor. Assuming that the American public can't stomach 500,000 troops in Iraq for a number of years, or that we simply can't recruit that many, then we pretty much have no choice but to cut out and minimize our losses.
Mm-hmm.
Following the current course, I just don't think we have enough troops on ground to stop an insurgency.
I understand, and I generally agree with you. We're going to take a break and continue with Bobby Yen. He is a sergeant who was in the Army Reserves and served us in Iraq. And, Bobby, I deeply oppose this war, but I thank you for your service. And I hope that your colleagues in Iraq understand that those of us who dissent from the policy fully support the individuals like you who put your lives on the line.
I'm sure they do.
We'll take a break and continue in a moment. If you have a question or comment for Bobby Yen, get on the line right now, 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast, 831-899-KRXA. Or you can call us toll-free from Eureka or elsewhere, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. 16 minutes after the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown. president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 419, and here's Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Salinas. It's northbound 101 at Abbott Street. A solo vehicle on its side there, and it's actually causing some very slow traffic and some closures. So northbound lanes of 101 are blocked, as well as the northbound 101 off-ramp to Abbott. So Salinas, northbound 101 at Abbott Street. Be aware of that. Also an accident reported for Cashville Highway 183 at Pajaro Street. Two vehicles involved in this one. And a solo vehicle accident in Soledad. It's southbound 101 at Highway 146. Also a solo spinout in Seaside, southbound 1 at the Fort Ord main gate. This report is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. No microwaves, no freezers, just 100% fresh ingredients cooked to order for quality you could taste. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger is all about. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half hour. Twenty minutes past the hour. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone in just 10 minutes. 90 minutes of room for your calls today on any subject from any viewpoint. We continue with Sergeant Baldwin Yen, Bobby Yen, a veteran of the Iraqi War, who is back in the States now. And Bobby, tell us a little bit about IAVA. I know some of your colleagues, Paul Rykoff and others, it's the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Tell us about the group and why you decided to become a part of it.
Well, it's currently the largest group of veterans from those two conflicts around, and it's non-for-profit and it's not political. It's just an organization to push for soldiers who were there, are there, or are going to go there. When I got back, you know, I thought, I really hadn't done that much. I had just done my duty, what I signed up for. I got back, and, you know, when you join the military, you get a certain sort of disconnect with the civilian population. I knew what I knew, but I figured everyone else knew, too. But when I got back and I talked to people, I realized that they had an interest in what was going on and that they had a sort of skewed picture of what was going on. I found the website for the group, IAVA.org, and it was a bunch of people who not only had been there and could understand, but also thought that they should get the truth out and that the people over there still needed help, which they do.
Well, both of those issues are very important because the truth has been a casualty along with 2,300 Americans in this war. And I do think that the situation of veterans returning does not get nearly enough attention.
Certainly. I mean, these are people who have given up at least a year of their life in service for their country. And I mean, I know I among them, a lot of them out there didn't want to be there or don't really agree with why we're out there. But they have the sense of civic duty that they perform what they signed up for. And they come back and they're basically no different from anyone else. I mean, they're no different in treatment, but a lot of them have scars, either physical or a lot of them mental. I mean, the warfare out there is unconventional. It's pretty brutal. You pretty much have to be on guard all the time, and it wears away at you after a long enough time. I mean, one day of being on your guard, someone might be trying to kill you. Maybe that's okay. A week, a month, 6 months, a year. Even if nothing happens, just that kind of weariness can get to you.
I believe it. Let's take a call. Bob in Salinas, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Sergeant Yen.
Good afternoon. Well, I take it, being a veteran, you're no longer active. Is that correct?
That's correct. I actually got out of inactive Ready Reserve in December 31st last year. So
okay,
they can't even call me back if they want.
Okay, number one, if you were in between deployments to Iraq, say, could you have spoken as forthright as you have this afternoon?
My understanding is that you can say whatever you want as long as you don't speak against your chain of command, which the president is at the top, and as long as you don't try to represent yourself as the opinion of the military. You can't say anything bad while you're in uniform. However, in your civilian role, as a reservist at least, you can say anything you really want to.
Okay, and then I've read recently where there's been 8,000 of the troops that have gone AWOL. Have you noticed, or do you know anybody that was in your unit that had disappeared and, you know, didn't report when they were supposed to go back or something to that effect?
I think AWOL, a lot of the time a lot of that number is for the inactive Ready Reserve, people who have already served their active reserve time and they're sort of on a list. They try to call them up and they just never respond, or they moved and they didn't change their address, or they just don't return the calls. As for people actually leaving, like on leave or anything like that, that's pretty rare. We actually had a couple of cases in our unit where people would clear up minor paperwork issues so that they could get to go. It's really about the sense of team. I mean, you don't want your buddies going somewhere dangerous without you, although I can only speak from my own experience, of course.
Well, this has been terrifically interesting. Thank you very much.
Bob, thanks for your call. Good to have you listening. And, Sergeant, you know, with somebody like you, I always like to just give you an opportunity to tell our listeners something that you think is important that I haven't thought of, because you're very kind to respond to my questions. But you're the one who was there. And as we observe this three-year mark, what do you think that Americans need to know about the war in Iraq?
Well, there were two real experiences that I've kept with me from being over there, and I'll tell you one of them, and it's the one I think that people would benefit the most from knowing. Sort of an illustration of the cost and the unjustness of the war in some sense. I was stationed with the 1st Armored Division for a short while. They were there for a year, and then they kept getting extended. When they got extended, they needed some Army news people, so I was sent to cover them. My first job with them was covering a funeral for 8 soldiers who had died in a car bomb. They were just doing their job. A car rolled up. They stopped it to search it, and it exploded. Well, I mean, because we weren't prepared, those guys had to stay longer. All of those guys were supposed to have been home already. At the funeral, I mean, the sense of loss was palpable. these people were people. I mean, you may see the casualty numbers on the news. You may hear that this person died, but, like, every soldier is a person. And sometimes you get the feeling that it's all right if a soldier dies because they signed up for it. But, I mean, it still doesn't really make you less of a human. They called out their birthdays. They said significant others. They called out their enlistment dates. I'm not so young or so old myself. I'm 27 now. I was 25 to 26 over there. And most of these guys were younger than I was. I mean, a bunch were 18, 19, 21. A lot of them had enlistment dates like September 13th, 2001, September 15th. These were just young, idealistic kids who wanted to do something for their country. And, I mean, in the end, that's what this war is costing us, more than the real cost and even the political costs and our loss of faith on the international community. I think that people often forget that people are dying out there, people who wanted to help this country and who signed up for goals greater than themselves.
Mm-hmm. Bobby, how has your transition back to civilian life been?
I like to say that I was lucky in that I got over there in the best possible shift, OIF 1.5, we like to call it. We came in about 6 months after the first wave, so we missed the actual invading. And by the time we left, the insurgency was just starting to pick up. When we first got there, there were no car bombs for about the first 6 months. And then there was one a month, one a week. And now there's like one to two a day. But we got out of there early. I really didn't have any horrible experiences. And my adjustment, besides trying to help other soldiers, has been pretty good, pretty fast.
All right. Well, thank you for giving back.
Certainly.
I really appreciate it. Nice to talk with you. That's Sergeant Baldwood Yen, also known as Bobby Yen, and he is a member of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. There it is, a first-person account of his experiences in the war zone. Coming up next, we head into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast. 1-888-579-2540, toll-free from everywhere else. And if we're lucky, Congresswoman Barbara Lee is going to join us in the next segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Mazda 6, a sporty four-door hatchback that handles well and gets pretty good mileage. The Mazda 6 is assembled in Michigan. Only the transmission is made in Japan. With a 3-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a 5-speed manual transmission, my demo has plenty of acceleration and power. It's got a full package of power toys, including a power moonroof, Bose sound system, and Sirius satellite radio. I'm impressed with its easy handling and smart design, and by that I mean it's good-looking and well-engineered. Mazda includes a 4-year bumper-to-bumper warranty, so test drive the Mazda 6 before you buy a Camry or an Altima. By the numbers, the Mazda 6 gets about 19 miles per gallon in the city, 27 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the Wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death. whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236, 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. This weekend, tens of thousands, hopefully millions of Americans will take to the streets. Well, man, I don't know if we want to bring back the 60s in every way, but I'd love to see that kind of activism. I'd like to see people take to the streets and express your opposition to this continuing war in Iraq as we observe the third anniversary of our unilateral elective adventure in Mesopotamia. In Eureka on Saturday, people will be gathering at 12th Street between E and F between 11:30 and noon. Alexander Coburn, a firebrand who writes for The Nation and is at counterpunch.org, he is a featured speaker there in Eureka. In Monterey, the event starts at 4 p.m. at Window on the Bay. And in Salinas, there is a march that'll get underway earlier in the day, starting at 11 a.m. You should meet at East Blanco Road and South Main Street. That's at the Star Center. And if you care to go to San Francisco, the protest and gathering will begin at 11 a.m. at the Civic Center in San Francisco, which is just across from City Hall there at Van Ness and McAllister Streets. So that's a rundown on activities this weekend. My lines are open for the rest of the program today, and I'd like to hear from you. You can talk about any issue, but what's top of mind for me is the war in Iraq and the president's incredible speech today, where he is, again, articulating this sense of preemptive war. And I don't buy it. I don't think that it is something that will serve us well in the long term. And I'd like to hear your comments. Lines are open for you right now. Central Coast, 831-899-KRXA. That's 899-5792. Eureka, you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And sometime in the near future, we're expecting to hear from Congresswoman Barbara Lee. She was invited on the show today, and we didn't have an exact time nailed down. So if you're on the line, we may ask you to give way when she checks in with us. And also, over the course of the next 90 minutes, I'm going to intersperse some comments that were collected by the fine folks at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, the media watchdog group called FAIR. And I'll just give you some examples here. The Los Angeles Times, April 10th, 2003, headline, Iraq is all but won. Now what? CBS News, May 4th, 2003. Now that the combat phase of the war in Iraq is officially over, what begins is a debate throughout the entire U.S. government over America's unrivaled power and how best to use it. My friend Bob Edwards, when he was on NPR. April 28th, 2003. Congress returns to Washington this... No, wait a minute, it's Bob Edwards. Congress returns to Washington this week to a world very different from the one members left 2 weeks ago. The war in Iraq is essentially over, and domestic issues are regaining attention. I don't do a very good Bob Edwards, do I? So you get the idea, and as I said, we will include those in-between calls over the next 90 minutes or so. And I would love to hear from you today. Dave is up first from Humboldt. Good afternoon, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. I for sure will be a part of our Humboldt County Peace March here in Eureka, along with the Veterans for Peace and the Unitarians, the Quakers, and several thousand residents, if the weather will permit.
Hope it does.
Yeah. I will be there no matter what. But I had hoped to share my thinking with your sergeant, the guest just before, but I called in too late, because it is definitely my belief, as I guess you well know, that we had no noble purpose for entering Iraq or the Middle East. It is to do more with the fact that we have, in our government, billionaire oil tycoons driven by greed beyond comprehension. It's hard to think of how, I mean, as I connect the dots, how really bad they are.
Yeah.
So I share that thought because I think I like to cause people to think about it. Is it possible we have a government as bad as I am seeing it?
And I cannot refute your point of view, Dave.
Well, I appreciate that, Peter. You're always
If I could, I might.
Oh, I'd love it if you could convince me that they're nowhere near as horrid as this. But I see some very ambitious goons that have just stolen our government, and now they want to steal the wealth of the world.
Indeed. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Peter.
Always good to talk to you. Congresswoman Barbara Lee represents Oakland, and I have a bumper sticker right over here on my filing cabinet that says, Barbara Lee speaks for me. Congresswoman.
Oh, thank you very much. How are you?
Thank you for being with us today.
Good to be with you.
These must be tough times in Washington.
They're very tough times. And when you look at this latest offensive, 3 years after the first invasion and bombing and occupation of Iraq, now we see another effort beginning. And I tell you, the American people are saying they're sick of this. Today, for example, we voted on the supplemental appropriations that included $70-some billion to continue this war.
Yeah.
Well, I've been working for the last year and a half on an amendment, on a resolution saying we shall have no permanent presence, no permanent military bases in Iraq. You know, mm-hmm. Part of the problem is people... the Iraqis and people in the Middle East see the United States as occupiers and want a permanent presence there. And so as long as that message is being communicated, I believe that we will continue to see the violence escalate. But having said that, today my amendment passed, and it passed on a voice vote on this bill. And, you know, that's unheard of. Last year that would not have happened. This year the Congress said no permanent military bases in Iraq.
Well, won't the president cross his fingers when he signs the bill and issue a signing statement that says, I know it's in there and I don't have any intention of observing it?
Well, we know this president really doesn't, there's no accountability. And he just continually and continuously makes up the rules as he goes. And I think we have to, one, preserve it when it goes to the conference committee. I mean, this got off the House floor, but, you know, we still have the Senate and the conference committee to go in. And so we've got to keep it in there. But, yeah, I think, although the president has made statements before saying that he does not intend and does not want any permanent military bases in Iraq. I mean, we have his quotes, his statements, and what have you. So let's see what he does with this. But I share this because I think the sentiment of the American people is growing with us in the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
because we knew this was wrong all along. We knew they weren't telling the truth. We knew they were misleading the country, and we knew that Iraq posed no imminent danger to America, and we knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction. I mean, we've been saying this. We knew it. When the resolution to authorize the war came before the House, I had an alternative amendment, got about 72 votes, that just said, no, let's not go to war. Let's let the U.N. inspections process proceed and continue.
Right.
Now, had we done that, we would have found that and verified for the Bush administration there were no weapons of mass destruction. But the Congress got misled, you know, and now they're trying to figure out how to get out of this mess. And I think the American people are really saying, get us out.
Congresswoman, yesterday I had a powerful conversation with an Iraqi woman who left her homeland just 6 weeks ago. Her name is Faiza al-Araji. She is a Shia married to a Sunni. One of her sons was kidnapped, he was arrested and then held for ransom by the Interior Ministry. And she told quite a powerful eyewitness account. And toward the end of it, I asked her why America is there. And from her perception, it is about the permanent military bases that we cannot put into Saudi Arabia. And she sees this as a staging area for an attack on Iran in the near future.
Well, I tell you, that's very plausible. You know, there are many reasons why I think that the U.S. wants a permanent military presence there. And that's an interesting perspective and comment coming from an Iraqi woman. But I think that the polls have shown that the majority of Iraqis, 76% of Iraqis, believe that that's what the United States wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why getting this amendment into the bill today was very important. You know,
well, Congresswoman, I applaud that work, and I know that you have been working, you know, against the odds and in the minority of minorities, because the Democratic Party is not unified in respect to these issues. And let me ask you about what's going on in the other chamber. Senator Russ Feingold offered a very narrowly crafted and, in my view, right-on-target resolution to censure the president for the illegal wiretapping under the NSA program. And only two of his colleagues, the junior senator Barbara Boxer from California and Tom Harkin from Iowa, so far have offered public support for Senator Feingold. I find this shameful.
I find it shameful, too, because minimally, Senator Feingold should be able to have a full debate on this. And, you know, I think when you look at what we're doing in the House with Congressman Conyers, you know, we've have several resolutions for censure and for establishing a select committee. And so I think people are beginning to say, look, we've got to begin to hold this administration accountable. And I applaud Senator Feingold for doing that, because that was a bold move. And yes, Democrats are totally all over the place on this and many issues. But also I think that the American people aren't going to allow that to happen, that we are going to take back the House next time, because democracy is working. And I see everywhere I go now, even into red states, people are saying over and over and over again, this administration is self-destructing. And
I share your hope, you know, Congresswoman, but I'm also
chasing.
Well,
we have to work hard. I mean, you know, we all have to work to make it happen.
We've got gerrymandering. We've got electronic voting machines. We've got the fear factor that this administration may attempt some action against Iran just in time for the midterm elections to help protect and propel Republicans into office.
And I'm saying it's an uphill battle, and this is not going to be easy, but we can't let them have it without fighting, and we've got to, every step of the way, take them on.
I'm with you there, but can we turn this into a unified Democratic Party that forces a national referendum on the failures of the Bush administration?
Well, I think that's what we should, and I think when you look at the Democratic Party and many who are running now in primaries and many who are working with candidates, I think you see a fairly progressive, democratic message and strategy. Quite frankly, I don't see it on the press and in the media, but when I go into these districts, you know, and when I talk to people and when I see candidates, I mean, I think the Democrats are moving ahead very aggressively, unified. When you look at how we beat them back on Social Security last year, we got that off the table. They don't even talk about privatizing. Now we have to be vigilant. But, you know, there have been some victories that we can't forget, and that was because we were unified, and I think Nancy Pelosi's done a fantastic job in keeping us unified, and we've got to just escalate our efforts.
Well, I certainly share that. Where should our listeners direct their efforts in terms of trying to expand the Out of Iraq caucus and hopefully attract more than one Republican to it?
I think people should look at where they have organizational affiliations in other states and other cities, where they have friends and family, have them email, call, and tell their members of Congress to join the Out of Iraq caucus. I mean, this has got to be a grassroots effort. It's got to start at the community level. It's got to start with grassroots lobbying.
Mm-hmm. And what is the count so far, Congresswoman?
We're over 70. I think we're about 73 or 74 now. It's promising.
That's,
you know,
progress.
There's hope. Because it started with three of us, Maxine Waters, myself, and Lynn Woolsey.
That's right. Yeah.
So we've got to look at it, even though things are pretty hard and pretty dismal right now. We've got to look at where we've been and how with just a few people, we're building a movement with our organizations and the majority of our people on the outside who are not elected. And I think that's a real testament to what you're doing and to what people are doing every day.
Congresswoman, thank you very much for your time today. And a final quick question, is Ron Dellums going to be the next mayor of Oakland?
I sure am working really hard.
Okay.
I think Ron will be a great mayor of Oakland. He's a visionary. He's got a plan. And I think he's going to make a major impact.
All right.
In Oakland.
Thanks for everything you do.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk again.
Thank you. Good talking with you.
Congresswoman Barbara Lee on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls are next.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet Louis Basil. Louis is the president of Jamestown Real Estate, where he'll share his knowledge on investing in Florida and North Carolina. His properties are easily rented with high rents and as low as 5% down. For more information on this show, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, heard all over Northern California. Your number one source for all your real estate needs.
Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley has an important show for you this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. Her topic is addiction, codependence, and recovery, what you need to know. She'll identify what's true for all kinds of addictions and ask, are you caught up in codependency? Joan's guests, Kay Coppett and Joyce Geidel, will share heartbreaking stories and inspiring journeys. Kay has produced a poignant documentary about her recovery called I Survived. She writes and lectures about healing to help others. Joyce works as a therapist specializing in chemical dependency and codependency and is head of the family therapy program at Mara Peralta Institute. How do you deal with shame, guilt, and insecurities? Learn about the need to set boundaries. Keep listening, and Joan will keep talking about things that matter. Her shows are archived at joankenley.com, K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters, Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. It's 449, and here's Metro Diane.
We have an injury accident in Carmel. It's Highway 1 at Carmel Valley Road. Pickup truck spun out. Unknown if it's blocking any lanes, so emergency crews and CHP en route to check that out. In Salinas, northbound 101 at Abbott Street, we have an earlier solo vehicle accident. Northbound lanes of 101 are still blocked, as well as a northbound 101 off-ramp to Abbott. So CHP on scene working on clearing that one up. In Seaside, southbound 1 at Fort Ord Main Gate, we have a solo spin-out. Vehicle has been moved into the center divide. This report is brought to you by Realty World. If you're looking to move up or scale down, look to your local Realty World broker for integrity, service, experience. Realty World, where the right agent makes all the difference in the world. RealtyWorldNCA.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back about 520. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, an expanded free speech zone today. Lots of room for your phone calls all the way until 6 o'clock. I want to thank Congresswoman Barbara Lee for checking in with us. It's early evening in Washington. My lines are open if you want to call 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA on the Central Coast, or toll free for KGOE listeners at 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. And just a quick note that since about the 1st of February, we have been recording all of the daily episodes of the Peter B. Collins Show, and they're now available online for a very small subscription fee at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. And if you're so inclined and you didn't get to hear it yesterday, the interview we conducted with the Iraqi woman Faiza al-Araji was from 3:30 to 4 o'clock, so that's in the first hour of the show. And I recommend it to you. She had some very important perceptions to offer. Tara in Seaside, thanks for holding. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Not Seaside, Bayside.
Oh, well, it says Seaside on my screen, and I apologize. I just read what they put up there.
I know you do. Well, my first thing is I don't think these people are conservatives. I think they're revolutionaries.
Well, they are power mad, and they will use almost anything to advance that goal.
Yeah, because conservatives try to save money. These guys don't do anything that conservatives do. And having elective preemptive wars, my question is, it's becoming obvious that there's a group in the White House that are war criminals by any standard. Torture, just a whole bunch of reasons.
Rendition, illegal war, overlooked or just, you know, blew past both the congressional resolution and the agreements with the United Nations. So the list is endless.
That's right. And nobody seems, our representatives, if the last vote of, I'm just spacing out now on the vote for the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. The last time anybody called any place a homeland, it was Germany.
Yeah. I hate that term. I choke every time I have to say homeland security.
Oh, my God. I mean, what they're trying to say is, well, this is baby Germany. Germany's passed laws that make us look draconian.
Well, I'll simply agree that the term homeland has odious undertones.
Yes. Very.
Tara, I got a bunch of callers here, so let me jump along. Thank you
Go
very
for
much.
Him.
Steve in Santa Cruz, you're next here on the PBC show. Go right ahead.
Let's go to line 4, Eric in Santa Barbara, California.
Steve.
Yeah, what?
Hi, you're on the air, and you're listening to another radio show.
Oh, sorry about that. It's your competition, so to speak. The Rush Limbaugh station in Santa Cruz, as you know, bought a little affiliate in Watsonville, whose name I'd prefer not to mention. If that's okay with you?
It's okay with me. I don't care if you do or don't.
But at the same time that you're on, we've got Sam Cedar and Jim Garofalo, that's Air America.
Right.
And tell you the truth, I think it's a Republican plot. You know, it's trying to keep us from hearing all the good people. I don't get to hear both you and, you know, what amounts to a competition.
Well, Steve, the way I'll put it is just the more voices we have, the more progressive voices in talk radio in particular, the better off we'll be. So if you want to spend some time with Sam and Janine, I've met them. They're nice people.
I won't have time for them either. I'm on my way into our local cannabis dispensary.
I see. Okay, well, you have your priorities, I can tell.
Thanks.
Okay, Steve. He's honest. 831-899-5792. There's a line open on the Central Coast. Toll-free 888-579-2540. We're taking calls for another entire hour. No additional guests scheduled, so there's room for your call and a short wait if you call in. We'll put you on hold and get to you in quick order. And I'd like to hear from some fresh callers today. If you're a first-timer who's been hanging back, you know, you've dialed 6 of the digits and then not completed it, go ahead. Go all the way today. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Now, more of these great comments from pundits. This is Fox News Channel's Tony Snow on April 27th of 2003. Tommy Franks and the coalition forces have demonstrated the old axiom that boldness on the battlefield produces swift and relatively bloodless victory. The three-week swing through Iraq has utterly shattered skeptics' complaints. Or how about Charles Krauthammer, Inside Washington on WUSA-TV, April 19th of 2003? The only people who think this wasn't a victory are Upper West Side liberals and a few people here in Washington. Oh, he had a chance to attack Michael Moore, and he didn't bother. Next up, Howard Fineman. He works for Newsweek, but he made this comment May 7th, 2003 on MSNBC. We had controversial wars that divided the country. This war united the country and brought the military back. One more for now. Chris Matthews, our favorite punching bag on the Peter B. Collins Show these days. April 9th, 2003. Simple statement. Utterly false, but a simple statement. We're all neocons now. Want to take that one back, Chris? Well, you can't. It's out there. A statement from Central Coast Democratic Congressman Sam Farr today. With the third anniversary of this war a few short days away, it's atrocious that the administration still insists on funding this $250 billion effort through emergency spending bills. It's a cheap trick that keeps war spending off the regular budget books and circumvents the scrutiny of the regular appropriations process. The $67.9 billion included in today's supplemental spending bill isn't even enough to maintain our current level of operations in Iraq and Afghanistan through the end of this year. Our soldiers deserve better than an administration that refuses to discuss an exit strategy or even plan out spending more than a few months in advance. Thank you, Sam Farr. That's very well put. And it's true, we're up to almost $6 billion a month that we're spending on this misguided operation in the Middle East. And the results? Chaos, mayhem, death, destruction, and long-term, serious damage to America's position in the world. We're going to be seen as imperialists of the worst sort. More of your calls coming up next. Join me, 888-579-2540.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. U.S. and Iraqi forces were on the move today in Iraq, north of Baghdad. The military calls it the largest air assault in nearly 3 years, but there was no bombing or firing from the air. Instead, troops were deployed to go after suspected insurgents. Retired Air Force Major General Perry Smith.
Between Baghdad up to the north toward the Kurdish area, there are some hot spots they're going to have to go after. And so this is an area that has been relatively quiet in recent times. Now they have indication that there are going to be some problems there. They've got to take those folks out.
The operation comes ahead of the third anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq and the same day that the new Iraqi parliament was sworn in, which is hoped to help quell the violence. CBS News military consultant, retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland.
It seems clear that the insurgents are a large part of those efforts to incite civil war. So attacks on these insurgents, particularly in the area around Samarra, where it's clearly an attempt to dampen down the efforts by these folks to incite a civil war.
The House has just approved additional funding for the war in Iraq.
Though the Iraq war is not an unexpected expense, the administration keeps paying for it outside the regular budget. So this emergency spending bill provides another $67 billion. This money will push the total for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq to a staggering $400 billion. There's also about $20 billion for cleanup and rebuilding after Katrina. All this new spending still needs to clear the Senate.
Correspondent Bob Fuss, the U.S. Marines have begun a criminal investigation into the killing of 15 Iraqi civilians last November in the town of Haditha. A military press release at the time said the Iraqis and one Marine were killed by a roadside bomb and that eight insurgents were killed in an ensuing firefight. The investigation is looking into whether all of the Iraqis may have died in the shooting. The Pentagon's looking into whether defense contractor Halliburton supplied troops in Iraq with unhealthy drinking water. Senator Byron Dorgan has asked for the investigation.
We had some whistleblowers come forward who said that the water that was provided for some of our troops was taken directly from the Euphrates River, was not treated, and very contaminated water was provided for soldiers for the purpose of brushing their teeth and showering.
Halliburton has said it worked closely with the Army to ensure that the water provided was safe. Bond was posted today for three college students accused of setting fires in Alabama, but even if they come up with the money, they'll remain behind bars for now.
The suspects are now charged with arson in state court. That means that even if their families paid the $50,000 bond set by a federal judge, the minute the suspects would be released from jail, they'd be rearrested. Bibb County officials charged the college students with five counts of second-degree arson for torching five churches last month.
Reporter Donna Francavilla in Birmingham. The Senate tonight passed a $2.8 trillion spending plan for the budget year. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 43 points. The Nasdaq was off 12. This is CBS News.
People save more and more money on Priceline. Save when you find your own hotel. Save even more when we find it for you. Save packaging your hotel with airfare, booking early, or even on last-minute deals. Priceline now has more ways to save on hotels than any leading travel site. Priceline. More ways to save.
Why do energy drinks make you crash? I'm Dr. James Bragman, host of Prescription for Health. The answer is large amounts of sugar and caffeine. That's why I recommend 5-Hour Energy. It gives you hours of energy without the crash. 5-Hour Energy contains B vitamins, enzymes, and amino acids. Zero sugar and just enough caffeine. So if your energy drink makes you crash, then switch to 5-Hour Energy. Hours of energy now, no crash later.
5-Hour Energy is in the diet section at Walgreens, the pain relief section of CVS and Rite Aid, plus many 7-Eleven and GNC stores.
The Justice Department has approved the first elections in New Orleans since Hurricane Katrina. WWL's Dave Cohen on the debate surrounding that issue.
The NAACP says holding New Orleans elections is placing a severe burden on African American voters. Jesse Jackson says voting rights are being trampled. But Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco says the state's worked hard to ensure everyone can vote. Secretary of State Al Ader celebrating.
We obviously are pleased that justice as well as a federal court both have said that what we're doing is appropriate and proper.
There'll be satellite voting across Louisiana, and information's been mailed to displaced residents who applied for FEMA on how to request mail ballots, and thousands have already done that. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
A children's health group in California has yanked some anti-obesity ads that showed kids begging for greasy and sugary snacks by asking their dad to buy me some diabetes. Some parents complained the ads were insensitive toward children with diabetes. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Every day, people save more and more money on Priceline. Save when you find your own hotel. Save even more when we find it for you. Save packaging your hotel with airfare, booking early, or even on last-minute deals. Priceline now has more ways to save on hotels than any leading travel site. Priceline, more ways to save.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. People always ask me, what keeps me going? You know what I say? I have Purple Power. Yeah, I try to drink a glass of Welch's Purple 100% grape juice every day because Welch's is packed with deep purple, antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. So it doesn't just taste good, it's actually good for your heart. In fact, Welch's has twice the natural antioxidant power of orange juice. So grab a glass of Welch's and add a little Purple Power to your life. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you could do for your heart.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. And we are knee-deep in the free speech zone. Any call from anywhere on any subject. Oh, yeah, and any point of view. Let's talk about it. Topic A here on the Peter B. Collins Show today is the third anniversary of Bush's war on Iraq. And we've heard from Congresswoman Barbara Lee, the only member of Congress who voted against both the Patriot Act and the original authorization for war in Iraq, a courageous American. And we heard her comments about Russ Feingold and the censure resolution, too. You're welcome to comment on that. And any other issue we've discussed today, the media. And I have more of these juicy quotes, little trips down memory lane for some of our wayward media pundits in this country. So anything you'd like to talk about, I'd like to hear from you. 831-899-5792, local call for the Central Coast. That's 899-KRXA. Or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579, slowly, Peter, 2540. Well, in Sacramento, no success on the governor's proposed bond agenda for infrastructure improvements in California. We'll get a detailed report tomorrow at this time from our assembly member, John Laird from Santa Cruz, who is one of the key members of the committee that has been attempting to negotiate this package with the governor. But after kind of ignoring the fact that the deadline was last Friday, and then they said, well, Monday, and then they kept pushing, but they have officially given up on getting that on the ballot for the June primary. And then it becomes a political question. If the Democrats cooperate with Schwarzenegger and put some form of infrastructure bond package on the ballot, is that going to help him politically in November? And publicly, the Democrats will tell you, well, we're not going to focus on that. We're interested in what's best for California. I would reply that it's best for California to make Arnold Schwarzenegger an item for the history books, an anomaly. A one-term recall wonder who could not get elected in his own right to a full 4 years. So we'll have to see how that plays out. It will be interesting. And let me throw one other topic in that's not quite as heavy, and maybe we'll get some interesting calls on this. I tried to watch the new HBO series called Big Love. It debuted on Sunday night. And it was kind of a soap opera thing. It didn't really grab my attention. But in the op-ed pages, we're seeing a softening to opposition to polygamy. And it's interesting because conservative Republicans have said, oh, you give us gay marriage, the next thing you'll legalize polygamy and pederasty and all kinds of weird stuff. And even John Tierney, who is the newest conservative writing on the op-ed page of the New York Times, wrote a piece over the weekend suggesting, what's so bad about polygamy? If consenting adults consent to the arrangement, let them do it. So I'd like to hear your thoughts. Could you imagine yourself in a polygamous relationship, either as the husband to multiple wives or a multiple wife to a single husband? I personally couldn't manage it. I can't even contemplate the idea of trying to juggle a relationship with more than one woman at a time. But maybe you are more deft than I. So, if you wanted to comment on that, I'd be happy to hear your thoughts. Millie and Aptos, thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show right here in the Free Speech Zone. Your speech is now free.
You're welcome. I really do appreciate our neighbors to the north. Is that Mendocino and north of Mendocino, whoever you are out there, we really appreciate hearing from you, and stay in there big time and call your friends and get them proactive.
Millie, that's great. Just to clue you in, we don't reach quite as far south as Mendocino. The station is in Eureka, and it's got a pretty good signal. So it covers to the north up toward Crescent City and most of Humboldt County.
And I'm sure some people in Oregon can hear you, too.
That's true. We get calls from Brookings occasionally.
That's great. And people in Oregon, get proactive. Well, at any rate, I thought it was very interesting that you brought up the polygamy issue.
Oh, yeah?
That's not why I'm calling, but
okay.
I'll get to it right away.
Go ahead.
Polygamy was the way of life in most of the world prior to the last few hundred years. It was all over Asia, Asia Minor, and of course all over Africa, big time.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Western Europe. It was not called polygamy. It was called mistresses. And the ruling class had many mistresses.
Right.
However, they only had one bona fide wife.
Right. It was, was it President Pompidou of France died a couple of years ago, and the wife and the mistress were given equal stature at the public funeral.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Well,
that's
how the French are.
Yeah.
Vive la femme, but whatever. Okay, now to my point. The imminent preemptive strike,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm talking about Iran, Raisin Brain is currently huffing and puffing in the direction of Iran. He's got all of these buzzwords in his crappy speeches indicating that.
And, Millie, you know what? He's using the same technique that proved to be remarkably effective in dissembling us into Iraq. And that
is,
he gives these speeches where he goes from one point to the next, and without making a direct rhetorical connection between, for example, the threat posed by Iran and the need of the United States to take stern action, he links these things together in the mind of the viewer or listener. And later on, when you go back and look at a transcript, you can say, well, I never said that. People just inferred that. And so as an inferential speaker, Bush has remarkable powers of inference.
He really does. He personally doesn't, but his puppeteers do.
Yeah, I mean, he stands up there and reads the speeches, so I'll give him credit for delivering them.
He really has talent behind him. And I am very despairing of the millions of people in America who are so dull-witted that they're going for this. But anyway, what can I do at this point?
Well, Millie, I think that's a very important point that often gets short shrift. And that is, you know, we blame the media, we blame Karl Rove, we blame corporate America,
we blame the
military-industrial complex. But, you know, bottom line, it is our fellow citizens who we have to look to. And they have a responsibility to put down the remote and say, I've seen enough of American Idol. I don't care who gets kicked off. I'm more interested in the future of our country and the bankrupt manner in which we are going to leave it to our children.
But I have to clue you. There are vast areas in this country where people not only do not read, they are totally uninformed, and Clear Channel is their only avenue of news. So what the other thing I want to say is this won't only be a missile attack on Iraq, probably very soon, because all of his buzzwords indicate that, but our benighted grunts will find their boots on Iran's soil. I unfortunately think it's going to be very soon.
Millie, I hope you're wrong, but I thank you for sharing your vision.
You're welcome.
Nice to talk to you again today. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. Free speech right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Central Coast, lines available, 831-899-5792. North Coast, got a line for you, toll free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. It's It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
KRXA 540 with your traffic update at 519. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, most of our earlier accidents have been cleared. Just a couple to tell you about this time around. Still working on clearing the one in Salinas. Northbound 101 at Abbott Street. An overturned vehicle had been blocking some lanes, so it's now been moved out of the lanes. Got a tow truck en route to clear it on out of there. Also an accident in Seaside. Southbound 1 at Fort Ord Main Gate. Solo spin out there. Vehicle has been moved into the center divide. Taking the Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, both directions stalling accident-free. This report is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. No microwaves, no freezers, just 100% fresh ingredients cooked to order for quality you can taste. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger is all about. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on the Stephanie Miller Show, right here on KRXA 540. Twenty minutes after the hour in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. A line available for you on the toll-free circuit, 888-579-2540. Or on the Central Coast, the local call, 831-899-5792. And this just in, about 15 minutes ago, the Senate has passed the budget bill. And keep in mind, this is just the blueprint. A lot of details will have to be worked out later. But it does include a marker for opening the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. And the vote was narrow, 51 to 49, which means that even some Republicans didn't vote for this budget. Just a couple. I don't have the breakdown of who voted how, but that's what we know so far. And a couple of more of these great items before we go back to your calls. These are snippets compiled by FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And this is recapping 3 years of misguided news reporting and commentary, mostly on television. Here's Fred Barnes on the Fox News Channel, April 10th of 2003. The war was the hard part. The hard part was putting together a coalition, getting 300,000 troops over there and all their equipment and winning. It gets easier. I mean, setting up a democracy is hard, but not as hard as winning a war. Hey, Fred, you want to put that in your pipe and smoke it? I mean, first of all, I don't believe there were ever 300,000 troops there. The coalition was a joke. And other than that, your comment is just stupid. Next up, Washington Post reporter CeCe Connolly. Oh, it was breathtaking. I mean, I was almost starting to think that we had become inured to everything that we'd seen of this war over the past 3 weeks, all this sort of saturation. And finally, when we saw it was just true, genuine expression. It was reminiscent, I think, of the fall of the Berlin Wall. And just sort of that pure emotional expression, not choreographed, not staged managed, the way so many things these days seem to be. Really breathtaking. That's CeCe Connolly on the Fox News Channel, April 9th of 2003, talking about the stunt of pulling down the Saddam Hussein statue in Baghdad, which was, of course, a stunt by American troops. But she saw it as something just so natural, and just it just happened, right? Sharon in Carmel Valley, thanks for holding. You're next on the air.
Hi. Well, Peter B. Collins, this is the first time I've ever called into a talk radio.
Well, thank you very much for shedding your virginity.
Well, I was driving, and you welcomed people that had never called in before, and I just want to tell you what a breath of fresh air you are.
Well, it's my pleasure. This is my personal therapy, Sharon.
Well, listening to you is mine.
Okay.
Because what it does is it makes me realize that there are other people who feel the same way I do.
You are not alone.
And I think that the Democrats better get their you-know-what together, or we're going to be in for another 4 years of those idiots in Washington.
Well, and this is the real sadness of the time, because, I have complex feelings. I'll try to explain them here. I do not wish for our nation to be damaged as the Republicans implode. And so I kind of leaven my hopes as we see from Harriet Myers to the Katrina mess to the bungled ports deal that the Republicans have lost their unity, and that is an opportunity for the Democrats. But they're not seizing that opportunity. They missed the moment of Kerry's attempted filibuster of the Alito confirmation. It could have been a breakthrough time where Americans saw the real difference between Democrats and Republicans, and they whiffed on that. And then the extension of the Patriot Act, only two votes passed it in the House. Only two votes. And yet we see time and time again, now with the censure resolution offered by Senator Feingold, the Democrats first look at their personal situation, their own political fortunes for the future, not at the best interests of the American people. And that failure to lead is something that I feel very sad about.
It's heartbreaking. I'm almost 70. I've been a Democrat all my life. And I, you know, carried banners during the Vietnam War. And I see no solidifying, not even ideas. The Republicans have usurped all the Democratic values. You know, I mean, it's ironic. I was listening to another radio show about a year ago, and I thought, I'm not listening to a Republican. I'm listening to a Democrat. But it was the Republicans that had taken over education, the medical thing on Medicare, and they're, you know, aside from Barack Obama, I can't see a whole lot of people standing up to the opposition.
Feingold,
you're absolutely right. Feingold and the guy from Oregon also.
Biden. It's Wyden with a W.
Ron Wyden, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
And
Barbara Boxer, we're still trying to figure out why she voted on the Patriot Act in the affirmative, but 98% of the time on other issues, she's very good. And she has supported the Feingold censure resolution.
Well, but what about the rest of the Democrats?
They're talking to their pollsters.
Well, I'll contact my congressman because he's my cousin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he says that the climate in Washington is unbelievable. And all he wants to do is just take care of his constituents. He said it's so spiteful. You know what they make the Democrats do when they want to have a committee meeting? They allow them to have rooms in the basement.
Right. I've been to those rooms in the basement.
Well,
and it's sad, you know, that a hearing room will be empty upstairs and you have to go to a windowless room with,
You
know, 40-year-old pictures of FDR on the wall.
I mean, it's like they're caught in their own power warp and they don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. Sharon, for a first-timer, you did great.
Thanks a lot. We'll keep on doing the good work.
If you'll call me again.
I will call you again.
All right.
Thanks,
great.
Peter.
Ben and Salinas, thanks for holding. You're next.
Yes, Peter. In the news, China and Russia issued a statement, people should be aware, that they wanted us to negotiate our differences with Iran. They're not going to stand by while we attack, and they want to use a preemptive nuke, because you know Rumsfeld, Cheney, Rove, and Bush, they're frothing, literally frothing at the mouth to use a nuke.
Ben, would they really do that? Would they use a nuke to prevent Iran from developing a nuke? Do they not see what that tells the world?
Don't you know what this maniac wants? We're rattling swords at our landlord, China. They're not afraid of us. If Russia and China, they could dominate the world just by manpower alone. But here's what I'm seeing as the danger. If they go in, and as the timing, the way they're ramping up, that they solidified the budget by raising the debt ceiling to $9 trillion today. That's heroism, stealing our dollars, putting them into Halliburton and multi-billionaires' accounts, while we the people go begging, and they're bragging about new hospitals and medical care in Iraq. But what happens if they launch a nuke, even a small one, a mini nuke, they call it, into Iran around the time of the election, under fear of retaliation? They'll declare martial law, suspend the election, suspend all public gatherings, and on with the Bush parade, because they don't want a Democratic Congress who can impeach and imprison all these evildoers, so to speak.
Well, that's a worst-case scenario, but I don't think they'd call off the election because they control the machines. Ben, we're out of time this segment. Thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate you as a listener. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available for you. Toll free, 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Tom Hartman.
Essentially, ethnic redistribution is happening right now as we speak. The Shia are moving out of the predominantly Sunni neighborhoods, moving into the Shia neighborhoods, and the Sunnis are moving out of the predominantly Shia neighborhoods into the Sunni neighborhoods. People are swapping houses.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And this is what we saw in the Balkans. This is what we saw in Lebanon. This is what happens when civil war happens. And the civil war, I would suggest to you, is already well underway.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236, 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. The revolution will not be televised.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and ship out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.
That was pre-rap, politically infused music and lyrics from Gil Scott-Heron. And, of course, this revolution is not on television because we have the corporate toadies who deliver the message points of Karl Rove and the clients over at the White House. Once again, I'm reading to you from some snippets that have been collected over the last 3 years, and this was published, I believe, yesterday by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. I think they're on the web at fair.org, so if you want to take a look at this for yourself, go right ahead. Here's another one from Chris Matthews, May 1st, 2003. We're proud of our president. Americans love having a guy as president, a guy who has a little swagger, who's physical, who's not a complicated guy like Clinton or even like Dukakis or Mondale, all those guys, McGovern. They want a guy who's president. Women like a guy who's president. Check it out. The women like this war. I think we like having a hero as our president. It's simple. We're not like the Brits. Man, that guy's really off the reservation. Here's one from Gwen Ifill on PBS NewsHour on May 2nd, the same day of the Mission Accomplished speech. The war winds down. Politics heats up. Picture perfect. Part Spider-Man, part Tom Cruise, part Ronald Reagan. The president seizes the moment on an aircraft carrier in the Pacific. I mean, these things read like press releases written by a political campaign. Here's one from Lou Dobbs, who has recovered his compass, I think. This one's dated on the same date, the Mission Accomplished speech, May 1st, 2003. He looked like an alternatively commander-in-chief, rock star, movie star, and one of the guys. great moments in American media. If you'd like to call, I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open, and first-time callers like Sharon are welcome. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. Toll-free, 888-579-2540. We've got Jake up next from Arcata. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Not too bad, thanks.
Yeah, I find it fascinating to hear these quotes 3 years later. One of my favorite quotes, of course, would have to be Bush on the aircraft carrier. Remember, mission accomplished, when he said that major combat operations in Iraq had ended. So how does he explain the massive bombardment of Iraq today? I thought this was supposed to be over 3 years ago, Bush. You know, the fact is...
Hey, wait a minute. It's just like lighting birthday candles, Jake.
Oh, man, this whole thing is just very sad. And I'll tell you, you know, obviously we all realize that Bush is just too incompetent to be in the White House in the first place. But what is also sad is to watch the reaction of some of these so-called moderate Democrats. In fact, a lot of these guys are closet Republicans, the Joe Liebermans, the Ben Nelsons of the world. These guys simply are stuck in the 80s or something. Have they seen Bush's approval rating? Now, I understand that right after 9/11, while some Democrats were afraid of Bush, you know, he had an artificially astronomical approval rating. But now that it's down to 33%, according to the latest Pew research poll, why are these Democrats running for the hills when Feingold simply points out the fact that the Bush administration is breaking the law with their illegal domestic spying operation?
It's a very narrowly worded resolution focused exclusively on that issue, which we can point out, has bipartisan support. Now, not all the Republicans are courageous enough to really prosecute their positions, but we know that many of them are seriously uncomfortable about this NSA spying program. But what we see is Pat Roberts trying to fix the problem for the White House by fixing the Intelligence Committee.
That's right. And, you know, the fact is, like you said, Feingold's censure resolution is very mild. These same Democrats who supported censuring Clinton for his extramarital affair, the least they can do is support this. I'd like to just read a little bit from their resolution, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Resolved that the United States Senate does hereby censure George W. Bush, President of the United States, and does condemn his unlawful authorization of wiretaps on Americans within the United States without obtaining the court orders required. What's so radical about that? That's just simply a statement of fact. And what I don't understand is why some Democrats, this is just a minority in our party, but they get way too much press. They just constantly bend over and take it from the Republican administration when they don't have to. The public is sick of Bush and Cheney. Come on, Democrats, read the polls. It's time to stand up, and it's time to fight back. Because the fact is, if we keep running these same campaigns we ran in 2002 and 2004, where the only thing the Democrats did when they were attacked was to turn around and put their tail between their legs and run, the Bob Schrum idea of campaigning, that's not going to work for us. It's not going to work just to hide and hope that Bush destroys the Republican Party. Clearly, he's well on the way, but we need to have an alternative. We need to point out what the problem is. And, you know, these senators make far too much money to be sitting on the sidelines, Peter.
Well, and Jake, I would only take mild exception to one thing you said in your comment there, and that is that sure, they can look at the polls if they want reassurance that it's safe to have some political courage. But damn it, it's time for these people to show leadership and not followship. Because, you know, we understand how polls work, and we understand how effective they can be at helping people position themselves. And also, you know, it can be a good way of avoiding stepping into some doo-doo. But that said, it is time for people to put the polls down and say, what do I really stand for? What is the core of my political being? And they need to express that and put themselves out for what the Republicans love to call an up or down vote. And
that's right.
Let people decide and you know, accept or reject the honest positions of these people who want to be leaders. But we should not return to Congress the people who are simply following the public, because they're following the influence of the corporate media. They're following the message point dominance that the White House has. And we'll never get our country back if all Democrats do is follow the agenda set by the Republicans.
That's right. As long as we frame the issues the way the Republicans want them framed, We are not going to win elections, and we need more Democrats like Barbara Lee, like Russ Feingold, Democrats who will stand up for our Constitution, put our future ahead of their own political future, okay? That's all I'm asking for. You are a public servant. If you are elected as a senator, a representative, you are supposed to represent the people, okay? And why these Democrats, some of them, aren't doing their job, and we can name them, you know, the Joe Bidens of the world, Evan Bayes, Hillary Clintons. They seem to be more Republican than Democrat. And as far as I'm concerned, as a Democratic voter, I'd rather vote for a real Democrat, Peter.
Well, and we have to these are difficult choices that we sometimes have to make. But I have previously talked about this, that I think that Joe Lieberman needs to be made an example of. And I support this man, Ned Lamont, who is challenging him in the Democratic primary in Connecticut. And we have to stop being fearful that we'll knock off a guy who's with us 20% of the time because he might be replaced by somebody who's opposed to us 100% of the time. But as long as we keep compromising and allowing ourselves to be wedged in to supporting these Republican-light candidates, we'll make no progress. And even if, you know, we have to swallow hard and accept that we might not win this midterm election, and, you know, I heard Barbara Lee's hopeful comments, but, you know, but as I referenced, gerrymandering, electronic voting, the power of incumbency, the corporate money that Republicans get, those are formidable advantages. And the Democrats are not united, and they're out there, every man, every woman for oneself. And that is not going to coalesce into a Republican defeat and a Democratic victory at the same time.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong, Peter, but, you know, the awful truth is the Republicans have complete control at this point. And as long as the Democrats, you know, refuse to fight and cower in the face of public support. See, I don't understand why any Democratic politician would be afraid of Bush and Cheney at this point. Cheney's got an 18% approval rating. I know maybe the polls aren't what we should be looking at, but let's look at them, and let's realize that America is sick of this Republican administration. And Democrats, it's your job, and it's our job as Democratic voters, to make sure the Republicans are kicked out in the fall.
Jake, you're right that this is the safest time for Democrats to assert themselves since Bush took office.
That's right. And if they can't stand up now, when are they going to do it?
Yep. Thank you very much. Tom in Pacific Grove, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I love your show.
Well, thank you. Good to hear from you.
I just saw this movie, Why We Fight.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. I really highly recommend it.
The filmmaker Eugene Jarecki was on our program maybe 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really pointed out the connection between the military, defense industry, Congress, and the think tanks.
Well, and it was framed by that dangerous Democrat, Dwight Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Wasn't it amazing to hear his farewell speech again?
Yeah, it really brought back some memories for me, and how they put it all together, and as you say, you know, they had people like him, and you know, his son, who's also a retired general, and others talk about these issues, and I think that it kind of segues into what we're talking about today in these liberal politicians who are not opposing, you know, this unjust war, and probably because they're connected with the industry, and that's where they're getting their campaign money.
Some of them. I mean, there are many Democrats, too many, who have accepted a lot of money from military contractors. But let's take the case of Jack Murtha, Tom. This guy is amazing, all right? He's one of the top three recipients of Pentagon-related political contributions in the whole House of Representatives. He's one of the top five recipients of campaign contributions from companies that benefit from the Star Wars misguided missile defense program. And he still found it in his heart to stand up and tell us what he's honestly thinking.
Well, I'd sure like to find out where Dianne Feinstein is getting her money. I'm really upset with her. Going back to that October vote, and Boxer was able to vote against that, and she voted for it, and I emailed her, and she gave me some lame excuse about having information and intelligence and so on and so forth. And I don't accept this idea that they were misled. If they're that naive, then they shouldn't be in office.
Well, Tom, there are people like me who had no access to any kind of intelligence, confidential, secret, or other material. And it was very clear that Iraq had no WMD, particularly any nuclear capacity. And there were Bush and Cheney and Rice and Rumsfeld talking about mushroom clouds. So, you know, I could not refute before the war every claim that they made. But the nuclear one was over the top and clearly false. And that was the point that made it clear to me, oh, these guys aren't leveling with us. This is not an honest use of intelligence. This is a rush to war, and let's figure out a good reason that the American people are willing to swallow. Tom, I got to take a break. Good to hear from you. Thanks for the call today. We'll take more of your calls here in the Free Speech Zone next. There's a line open in the Monterey area. Local call, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Care about labor issues?
Does it matter to you that we're losing thousands of jobs a year in this country to NAFTA and CAFTA?
Should all working men and women have health coverage?
Do you care about local labor struggles where workers are being exploited?
Do you want to unionize?
If you care, then join us. I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley.
Every Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m. for our new show,
Labor Matters,
as we discuss these important issues.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 is ready to check your traffic. It's 5:49 on this Thursday evening, and any second now we're going to hear from Metro Diane. And of course, every weekday morning, Casey's got traffic on the Stephanie Miller Show between 6 and 9 a.m. I hope you'll check that out. Stephanie is a hoot and gets you laughing at some of the toughest issues of the day. So be sure to tune that in. And coming up right after 6 o'clock, the Reverend Barry Lynn, who is Executive Director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. He'll be on the air with his program, Culture Shocks, and they probe some of the most powerful issues of the day every evening between 6 and 7 right here. I think we'll pass on a traffic report this time, and just hope everything is well where you are. It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
No question in my mind, we have a bad president. We also have a pretty bad media in this country, and particularly it has let us down on the issues related to the war in Iraq. And as we discussed a couple of days ago with Rory O'Connor from Media Channel, they went out and protested yesterday in New York, a disappointing turnout, to be honest, and they went to each of the offices of the network news operations, and they were ignored and rebuffed, and they also stopped off at the New York Times, and Danny Schechter reported in his blog today that they couldn't even get reporters who they knew to stop on their way back from lunch into the building and talk for even a moment. So it is shameful the way our media has operated. And I want to direct you to truthout.org, where our friend Norman Solomon, who's a frequent contributor to this program, has posted an item today called War-Loving Pundits. And let me just lift one paragraph here. Meanwhile, he says, another one of the Washington Post's syndicated savants, Jim Hoagland, led with this declaration. This is referring to Colin Powell's speech at the United Nations. Powell did more than present the world with a convincing and detailed X-ray of Iraq's secret weapons and terrorism programs yesterday. He also exposed the enduring bad faith of several key members of the UN Security Council when it comes to Iraq and its web of lies, in Powell's phrase. Hoagland's closing words banished doubt. To continue to say that the Bush administration has not made its case, you must now believe that Colin Powell lied in the most serious statement he will ever make or was taken in by manufactured evidence. I don't believe that. Today, neither should you. Well, Jim Hoagland, do you believe it today? In 2006? I sure hope not. Hear more great moments from the media. And by the way, if you want to call, I've got room for your call between now and the end of the hour. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast, or if you're listening online, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Oh, gosh, Chris Matthews is back. By the way, I did not rig the order of these snippets that were collected by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and I've just been sharing them with you as they come along. But we're back to Chris Matthews. This is April 9th, 2003, and he's talking about Howard Dean. What's he going to talk about a year from now? The fact that the war went too well and it's over? I mean, don't these things sort of lose their... Isn't there a fresh date on some of these debate points? I think he meant expiration date, but we'll give him the benefit of that doubt. Judy Woodruff on CNN, May 5th, 2003. If image is everything, how can the Democratic presidential hopefuls compete with a president fresh from a war victory? On the Fox News Channel, about the same time, May 2nd, right after the mission accomplished speech, Washington Post reporter Jeff Birnbaum on the Fox News Channel. It's amazing how thorough the victory in Iraq really was in the broadest context. And the silence, I think, is that it's clear that nobody can do anything about it. There isn't anybody who can stop him. The Democrats cannot oppose him politically. Well, he's half right about that. The Democrats haven't effectively opposed him politically, but it doesn't mean that they can't. Alan Combs, the alleged lefty, on Fox News Channel's Hannity and Combs. And I give kudos to Al Franken, because in his book Lying Liars and the Liars Who Tell Him, or whatever it's called, every time he refers to Hannity and Combs, the name Combs is two font sizes lower than Hannity. And that's a graphic depiction of Alan Combs' role on that show. Anyway, he says, April 25th, 2003, now that the war in Iraq is all but over, should the people in Hollywood who oppose the president admit they were wrong? Shame on you, Alan. Joe Scarborough, former Republican congressman who gets to keep his show on MSNBC because he's so conservative. April 9th, 2003, I doubt that the journalists at the New York Times and NPR or at ABC or CNN are ever going to admit just how wrong their negative pronouncements were over the past 4 weeks. Oh, how smug, how smug we can be. Cheryl in Arcata, good afternoon. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B., how you doing today?
Pretty good, thanks. How about you?
Well, you know, I'm having this flare-up of my post-traumatic Bush syndrome.
Yeah? What's the remedy?
Talk therapy. Okay. Getting on the phone and talking to you and listening to other people that feel the exact same way I do.
Right.
You know, it's the coming up of the anniversary of the war and Bush getting out there saying, let's have some more preemptive strikes, and then, what is it, Operation Stink Bomb, you know, bombing the heck out of the poor Iraqis again.
Yeah, Swarmer or something like that.
Yeah, well, whatever the horrific name they put on it. But anyways, I do think some good things are going on, and I really want to thank Barbara Lee.
Yeah, isn't she amazing?
Mm-hmm. Yep, she's a progressive hero. I was watching her on CNN and her amendment to the spending bill, and, you know, she wanted to stop the funds for the permanent bases in Iraq, which is obviously a good thing.
Yes, it is.
So,
they let her on CNN. That's a breakthrough.
Oh, I'm sorry, C-SPAN. I got my C's mixed up. Sorry about that.
Okay.
But anyways, they had the House on their, or the Senate on there talking.
Yeah.
but I really think it's time for our own little Operation Spanking. We need people to get behind the Feingold resolution to censure President Bush.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, it's a start. And
I guess, like the filibuster, we have to shame people like Dianne Feinstein into supporting it.
Yeah, and just hound her, you know. Yeah. I've already called, and, you know, she's got my number.
Yeah.
And then we also have to get out and, you know, we as parents need to teach our kids about peace. And I'm kind of saddened that a lot of people that were involved in Vietnam didn't actually get out and more opposition. I mean, this is like history repeating itself right here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm going to take my kids, and we're going to the peace march and going to have a good time and raise a little heck.
Good for you. Cheryl, I want to squeeze in one more call, so thanks for checking in today. Ed in Aptos, hi.
Greetings.
Hello, Ed. We just have 1 minute remaining, and I want to mention that you're going to be on with us tomorrow to kick off the show and give us your review of the documentary 9/11 in Plain Sight.
In Plain Sight. That's going to be the 3 o'clock segment?
That's right. Right after the news.
Crazy. I'm say kudos to Jake. I heard, yesterday that he's in a contested race. So.
Well, and he, one of the incumbents he's presumably running against was Cheryl, who was just on before you.
Well, those guys are active. They're news talk junkies just like myself, evidently.
Yeah.
The one thing I was thinking of, the Massawi trial, that, you know, they wanted to go the death penalty for the poor guy,
right,
because he didn't, if he would have informed them, they wouldn't have been a 9/11. Well, if Bush would have informed himself with the information he had, there wouldn't have been a 9/11. So
thanks, Ed. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Out of time.
Okay, bye.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. A show of U.S. and Iraqi military force began today north of Samarra in an effort to flush out suspected insurgents ahead of upcoming religious observances and the third anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is at the Pentagon.
It began in broad daylight, so the 1,500 or so U.S. and Iraqi forces rushed in by helicopter could effectively carry out searches. The focus, a haven for terrorists, as one U.S. official puts it, near Samarra. Operation Swarmer so far has netted some 40 suspected insurgents along with arms caches. In Baghdad, up to 200 new daily patrols have begun.
That hopefully will discourage those efforts by terrorists, insurgents, and others to do things to incite sectarian violence.
Retired Army Colonel and CBS News consultant Jeff McCausland. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, The Pentagon.
A Marine investigation has begun into the deaths of 15 Iraqi civilians in Haditha last November. A military statement at the time says they died in a car bombing, but the investigation's looking into whether they were killed in a firefight after an insurgent ambush on U.S. troops. Defense contractor Halliburton is under investigation again, this time for the water it supplied U.S. troops in Iraq. Senator Byron Dorgan.
Now an internal Halliburton study has shown that they were providing unhealthy, contaminated water to our soldiers for purposes of brushing their teeth and washing their face and taking showers and so on, and that can cause some very serious health problems.
Halliburton says there's no evidence the water posed a health risk. Some of the intelligence gathered in Iraq is being posted on the Internet. Many of the documents are in Arabic with no translation, but House Intelligence Chairman Peter Hoekstra lobbied for the release and hopes something will be learned by posting them.
We do not know what's in these documents. We don't know what answers they're going to give us. We don't know what questions they are going to raise.
Some of the documents are 15 years old. President Bush has nominated Idaho Governor Dirk Kempthorne to be his next Interior Secretary.
As Governor, Dirk has been a responsible steward of Idaho's 30 state parks and recreational trailways that serve millions of visitors each year.
Gail Norton resigned as Interior Secretary last week. College tuition seems to increase every year, but in California, one school worried